Welcome to Virtual School Assembly. I'm your host, Tyler Christensen. I'm a productivity speaker, author, and classroom teacher. Here at Virtual School Assembly, I interview Hollywood celebrities, professional athletes, Olympians, speakers, and educators who share messages of inspiration, education, and hope to better prepare you for an ever-changing and uncertain world. Thanks for joining us. Let's get started. Welcome back to Virtual School Assembly. Today, our guest is Penelope Lagos. Penelope is a New Jersey native who graduated from Rutgers University in Communications and Theater Arts. Upon graduation, she starred in the film Rebecca's Window, which debuted at New York's International Film Festival. She's the recipient of Best Lead Actress in a Feature at the Downtown Film Festival for her lead role in Stuck in the Middle. Lagos authored her first children's book entitled I Miss My Best Friend, which received a 5-star rating from Reader's Favorite. She's currently writing her second book, Different is Beautiful, which is set to be released later this summer. And today I'm really excited to talk to you, Penelope, because we have a lot of students out there who are aspiring writers. So
fantastic.
Let's start by going back in time to when you were a student, when you were younger, and thinking about who you wanted to be when you grow up and what you wanted to do. Was writing part of the picture at that point?
Yeah, it actually was. I'm a product of an English professor. My mom is actually a college professor. Uh-huh. And I think just, you know, hearing her, growing up with her, going to classes with her often, actually, when she was going for one of her many masters that she has, would go to Rutgers University with her, which is where I ended up going to college, actually. And I would sit in class with her sometimes, and I was just so mesmerized by sort of all the learning and education and cool things that were going on. So I think I always loved to write creatively, although I never thought it would become a career. I think growing up, I loved journaling. So, you know, those old school journals with the lock and key, that would be me. I would always just write out my thoughts, sometimes poetry and stuff like that. So I think it was always a hobby, although I never envisioned actually writing a book.
Right. So when you were, let's go to high school then, a lot of people, that's where they start to develop as writers, find their own voice and things like that. While you were going through high school, did you start to get into writing fiction and getting your ideas down, or was it mostly still just doing your homework, doing some journaling?
Still just doing homework, doing journaling, sometimes getting thoughts down on paper.
Right.
A lot of times I think I have a lot of ideas in my mind and I'll just jot them down, but they never actually formed into a book or a story back then. But I think it's really important to have an outlet, to get out feelings and emotions and stuff like that. So I was using it more in that respect, I think, in high school than anything else.
Right. So, and obviously you're a creative. In addition to writing, you've also been heavily involved in theater. Were you doing more of that kind of stuff as you grew up? Were you all involved in theater at a young age?
I was, involved in theater as well as dance. I danced for about 12 years. So I was, while all the other kids were playing sports, after school was dance for me.
Right.
So still in the arts, of course, but just in a different sort of segment of the arts.
Okay. So we're going to fast forward a little bit.
Yes.
After high school, you go to Rutgers. You start then starring in some theater productions as well as some movies and some television things. When did you get back to writing and deciding maybe I want to do something with this writing stuff?
So at Rutgers, I actually, I was focusing at the communication journalism school. So I thought journalism might be in my future.
Uh-huh.
Newscasting, broadcasting, which also ties in with writing. So sort of gotten involved with that. It wasn't till after college that I started sort of writing a lot more, whether it was letters or just really putting pen to paper, even though the technology had exploded and there were so much you could do on the computer. I still was very old school in putting pen to paper, and I still am. most recently, how the first book came about was actually the passing of my dog, who was my best friend, who was almost 16 years old. And so it was the loss of him and the tying in with, even when I was younger, sort of writing down my feelings, that finally it sparked my head that it was time to create something for not just myself, but for others that may need it.
Right. Now, you had a few advantages when it came to writing your first book, just because you come from an academic background and then went to schooling yourself. But for kids out there who are thinking, maybe one day I want to write a book, what are some of the first steps in that process as far as either deciding to self-publish or finding a publisher or an agent and going through that process? Or do you even need to worry about that and just focus on the story first? What do you think?
I think it's important to get the story down. What was helpful to me was after I did get the rough copy down, I showed it to more professionals, educators, teachers, friends that were sort of already in the business, because I think it's really important to get other people's feedback. It's sometimes hard to look at your own writing and judge it. So I want to make sure it makes sense to other people, and not only other people, but the target audience that I was writing for, which were kids. And the fact that I don't have children of my own, I said, well, some of my friends, let me have them sort of read it to their children and see their reaction. Because at the end of the day, it doesn't matter too much what the adults think about it, but really what the target audience is. So I think it's important to sort of narrow in on the target audience and see who exactly you are that you are writing for before you even decide that you're going to start either self-publishing or pitching it to an agency, which is what I did in the beginning. It's a very long process from beginning to end.
Yeah. Well, and especially if you're going with a publisher, you can cut some corners and shrink that timeline if you're going to self-publish. In fact, you can publish really quickly if you have an idea and have gone through the process before, but there's a learning curve there.
Absolutely.
So one of the things...
Self-publishing.
I
thought about self-publishing because, believe it or not, I didn't have any particular connections to a publisher. Mm-hmm. It wasn't that a friend said, oh, I'm with this publisher, why don't you submit your book? That didn't happen for me. What I did was I literally went on Google and I started searching for publishers that dealt with the genre that I was working in, which was children's books, ages, target age 6 to 9, and animal books. It was a niche sort of theme, and I wanted, well, who's interested in animal themed books? I should go after them first. So I, instead of just sort of sending out to everyone, which I always say is a bad idea, you should do your homework first and really narrow it down, whether it's 10 or 20 people that you want to query and send a letter to. I think it's the best way to go. And that homework and the legwork that you put into it, really the rewards come out at the end instead of just massively submitting any which way and a sort of a generic letter to everyone. Because I really feel that it's important to see what the publishers are looking for, and in particularly what they want to see in the letter. So everything's tailored to that particular publisher rather than just sending out a mass email. I don't ever think that works well with anything.
No, I think you're right. Now, when you wrote your story, did you try to find an illustrator on your own, or did that happen through the publisher?
I had to find one on my own, actually. Now, the second time around, I'm with a different publisher who does work with illustrators, but I once again found someone on my own. And that was actually through social media, if you'd believe it. I was on a dog Facebook group. yes, I was. And I actually put a posting out, and I found a woman by the name of Sophie Morricini, and she was actually in the UK. And what's so cool about technology now is you can have an illustrator from another country and still be able to work like we're doing right now and not have to be in person. So this time around, I wanted a different look for my second book. So I was looking for a different illustrator. And again, I put out a post. I'm now also on a children's book Facebook group. I think it's really important for the kids out there to get on social media and to connect with people in the industry. And that's with any industry, because it's very important to network with other people. And I've been learning so much as I'm going along from other authors and other illustrators and how sort of the business works. So I put out a posting, got a lot of submissions, and there's a lot of talented people out there. So yeah, it's really cool to see everyone's work since I can't even draw a stick figure.
So pro tip for you kids out there, social media isn't always bad and always evil, although it can certainly be abused. But sure, when you start thinking about some professional ambitions, I mean, that's how we connected. Penelope and myself was through social media, using right, LinkedIn. So there are definitely things that you can be doing now to create a network and to start getting your ideas out there.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Now, one of the things that I think is fascinating, my wife has actually written and illustrated a children's book, and I've written several nonfiction books. And I think a lot of kids out there think, well, I'm going to write the children's book because that's way easier. I just have to come up with a few words. My books are written way faster than her books are written. So talk about that. What all goes into writing a children's book? Why does it take so long?
I'm a very wordy person. So everyone thinks I should be writing some sort of a huge novel. Writing a children's book was very difficult for me. You know, you have 32 pages of just a line, maybe two or three on a page with an illustration. So just as important are the words are the illustrations as well. So I think it's so cool if you can do both. I wasn't so fortunate to be gifted to be able to draw, but the drawings in a children's book, particularly a picture book with little writing, really brings the words to life. So I think, you know, with the children's book, having to be so concise and speak on a level that a child would understand without using some flowery words along the way, but still being descriptive enough to be able to bring the photographs or, you know, the illustrations to life. It's a really, really challenging thing to do, I think.
Yeah.
So it's been difficult. Maybe one day I'll tackle something along the lines of adult novels. But the children's, you know, what I end up doing is I write everything out and then I have to start scaling back. And I think when you're self-publishing, you'll have to rely on yourself and sort of your network to help you do that. With the publisher, they do help you along the lines, sort of scaling things back and maybe making some of the language a little bit simpler.
Right. Yeah. And that's certainly what I've seen with my wife is that the biggest challenge is getting everything shorter. You're going to want to write more and then getting it so it's the right amount of words or sentences for certain pages, because not all pages are created equal. You have to be really strategic. In adult books, you don't. You just write.
No, exactly. And wherever it takes you, it takes you. And if it being longer, it ends up being longer. So I think you're pretty much into this little box when it comes to the children's book. So you have to be much more structured than you would be elsewhere.
Right. So Let's talk about your first book a little bit. I know it's about the passing of your dog, your best friend, and you did that. And I imagine part of the writing was therapeutic for you and helping you process. But why did you write it? What were you trying to accomplish with it?
So it was very therapeutic for me, and it still is. Just really having, before the pandemic hit, being able to interact at the schools and being able to go in and do read alouds was really, really great, because I connected with a lot of kids who have had loss in their lives, and not only animals, if you'd believe it. You know, we've had discussions about students' parents or grandparents passing, and how they felt that this book helped them. Hmm. And that was a really cool thing to connect on. I wrote it because, like I said, it started with me sort of jotting down my feelings. But I was, after his passing, I was so sad, really, is the only word I can think of, and really just starting to get pretty depressed about everything. having the routine being broken, you get into such a routine over such a long period of time with these pets, right, and they become a huge part of your family. And so I said, I wonder if there's something out there, some sort of a resource that would even help me. And when I started looking, I realized that I didn't find a lot that was out there. And the idea hit me, well, I must not be the only person feeling this way. I know a lot of people are oftentimes ashamed to say they feel like the death of an animal is like the death of a human being. But over the years, I've come to realize that a lot of people actually do feel that way. And this resource, although it is a children's book, I've had a lot of adults come up to me and say it's really helped them. And I included in the back of the book 10 tips to help parents teach their children how to cope with a loss. And like I said, it could be the loss of an animal or the loss of, it doesn't have to be a dog. You know, a lot of kids are like, my bunny rabbit, my bird, my this, my that. So a lot of times this death of a pet is the first sort of experience a child goes through with experiencing death. And so I think it's really relatable. And like I said, it's still really therapeutic for me. It's been tough, obviously, during the pandemic. I can't do live book events anymore and sort of connect with the people at different, you know, charity events or anything that I've done, which I miss a lot, you know, during these times. But hopefully we'll get back out there.
Yeah. Well, so one thing that you talked about here that I want to bring up, pro tip number two, is if you're a creative and you want to write something, look to solve a problem, you know, and so for you, yours, and the easiest problems to solve are the things that you need help with personally. So if you've gone through a struggle, if you've gone through a challenge, and you can help others with that same challenge, that's going to help you find an audience, because simply writing a book for the sake of writing a book, no one's going to buy it. You know, it has to solve a problem. And so that's a really good tip here, is use your experiences and leverage that so that you can get your book out to others.
Always. And just always use your life experiences. People have gone through so much, you know, even at a younger age, or sort of topics that are happening in the news or something that you feel that you want to, that people are talking about and you want to share with the world. And so I think that, instead of just grabbing something randomly, something that really has meaning. And if you have meaning behind something, I think that gets across to the audience.
Absolutely. Well, let's talk about your next book, Different is Beautiful.
What's
that one about, and what are you trying to accomplish with it?
Yeah, so Different is Beautiful are the characters, all eight characters, not just one character this time, but all eight characters are animals. And so sticking with the animal theme, because that's what I know. And these eight characters, actually, it's from their perspective being in a shelter. And there is an adoption day going on. And we sort of see what happens and the talks they have amongst themselves. And the special part about all eight of these characters and animals are that they have some sort of special needs. So whether it's hearing impaired, or my bird Paco with one leg, the senior cat, sort of various characters that I have. It's a don't judge a book by its cover type of book. And I think that just really came from a lot of conversations, a lot of things I see on social media, people sort of spouting out different things, sometimes mean things, cruel things, bullying type rhetoric, I would say. And it's cool to see this. I wanted to get that message through the animals. So to see from their perspective how they can turn the humans around.
Right. And I love that. I think kids who are thinking about becoming authors, often we just think, oh, it'd be fun to get my ideas out, fun to get my stories out. And we forget that books really teach and can help make a difference in the world. And so something as simple as taking eight animal characters in a shelter, you can teach an important message just like Dr. Seuss does with his books, or
absolutely
you get from the Nuffle Bunny or Fancy Nancy or whatever. These books have great messages that help us to teach our kids.
Absolutely. And I'll tell you my favorite book of all times, and I would suggest it to anyone who has not read it, because I've read it pretty much from a child up until now. I usually try to read it at least once a year. It's obviously a quick read, is The Giving Tree by Shel Silverstein.
Yeah.
That's my all-time favorite. The moral of the story is there from when you're a child, and it continues on through adulthood. It might take on a different meaning, but I just love books that teach a lesson and that really we can relate to at any age level.
Yeah, that's great. Well, Penelope, thank you so much for sharing kind of your journey as an author with us, and for all these great tips. You know, we have a lot of aspiring authors that are watching this, and I'm sure this will help them along their way.
I hope so.
If kids want to check out your books or learn more about you, where's the best place for them to go?
Yeah, absolutely. So my website is www.PenelopeLagos, it's my full name, .com. And then a link to all of my social media will appear on there. So we have my book page on Facebook, which is I Miss My Best Friend. And then my own personal page, Penelope Lagos. And on Instagram, I'm at Penelope Lagos. So I like to keep it simple, just my full name. And thankfully, no one else has taken my name. So
nice. You're lucky.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you so much for spending this time with us today. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you so much. It was a pleasure speaking with you.
Thank you so much for joining us today on Virtual School Assembly. If you enjoyed the episode, please subscribe on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or wherever else you listen to virtual assemblies. And leave us a rating and review so we know what you learned and took away from this virtual assembly. Videos and show notes are found at virtualschoolassembly.com. And if you're a school leader and you're looking for a speaker for virtual or traditional in-school assemblies, or if you're looking for some teacher training, I'd love to connect with you to see how I can help. You can check out my website at tylerchristensen.com. Thanks. You are super duper. Let's go out and make the world a better place. Bye-bye.